system.
Hey neighbors, I have a special announcement to make. Now, as you know, we had a changeover in the staff of the Paracast as of February of last year when the original co-host David Biedney left the show for personal reasons, and we respect that and we wish him well. I understand he's headlining the agenda at the Macworld Expo in San Francisco this week.
So, way to go, David.
Hey, you know, that's terrific. You know, of course, David's very well known in the digital imaging arena, and we wish him the best, great success in his life, free of paranormal concerns, which sometimes is the best thing, you know.
Yeah.
I know that I have left this field four or five times for extended periods. In fact, I was out of the field when the Phoenix Lights occurred in Phoenix. I was living in Phoenix, and we had the Phoenix Lights. I didn't see them. I didn't care about them because I did my best to stay out of the paranormal realm. What about you, Chris? Once you got involved in this, Chris O'Brien, what was your particular experience? Did you drop out? Because I have an announcement to make, which may cause you to drop out even further once you hear it. But have you had this period of time where you said, I've had enough of this, I've got to get back to normal life?
Well, yeah, I did. I took a two-year hiatus initially from 2002 through 2004. When I moved back east to write a biography on Ray Stanford. So I was kind of peripherally involved, and I was keeping tabs on activity, but I wasn't, you know, out in the field investigating. I did look into a couple of sighting events there. So I kind of took a pretty big step back at that point. But once I got out to Arizona, I found myself really zeroing in on what I felt were the most opportune situations to investigate the paranormal. So I kind of took a little bit of a step away from UFOs and was involved off and on for 5 years in doing haunted site research.
But it was still paranormal, you see. You never
But
gave
it was
it
still
up.
Paranormal, yeah. So sure. I really have never totally taken a step back. I feel like I've kind of gone underground a little bit, you know, for periods of time. But I've never really fully backed off and said, that's it, I'm not going to take it anymore, or I can't take this anymore. I've never gotten to that point of being so frustrated and so, you know, just so bent out of shape. I tend to kind of be pretty even keeled about these subject areas, and I don't really let them get under my skin.
Well, I'll tell you what, this announcement's probably going to make you want to disappear again. So let's backtrack here. Our original co-host leaves the show. We have some guest co-hosts, which included Frank Warren, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, and Chris O'Brien. And, of course, I didn't consider them as tryouts until it came a point where Chris is here just about every week. I am making Chris work very hard, reading the books from our guests, does a lot of independent research, and he still has all his personal projects that he's engaged in, and we'll talk about those in a moment. And I figure, you know what, let's recognize the reality. As of this episode, you are the official co-host of the Paracast.
Oh, my. Where's that button that has all the applause, the hooting and hollering? Chris, I'm not sure, Gene.
You know what?
I kind of feel like I've been the co-host, really. I mean, this is, I'm going on, I think I've done 40 shows already, so let's make it official. I appreciate
right.
that.
And I'm glad to make it official. There will be no gold watches. Except for the one carrot we talked about last week. I thought maybe
I'll take
carrot.
A platinum one.
You'll take a platinum one. You're greedy. So as we speak, as we record the show, you're about to jump on a plane, you know. And I think this Jerry Lewis movie, one of the last Jerry Lewis movies, where the people who were flying the plane would actually, because it was a low-cost airline, they had pedals. They use pedals to keep the plane aloft. So is this the kind of airplane you're going to fly?
Actually, no. I'm going out in a Cadillac CTS, actually. I'm
oh,
driving
you're
out.
Driving. You're not.
Yeah.
Oh.
To make a long story short, a guy I worked with here in Sedona for 6 years doing video production has relocated to L.A., and he's been involved it's kind of a labor of love for him. For 3 years, he's been slowly accumulating conversations between the top people in ufology discussing the subject of disclosure. And there's probably 25 really interesting dialogues that have been filmed over the last 3 years. And, you know, Richard Dolan, Stan Friedman, Daniel Sheehan, just you name it. I mean, they're all, you just go down the list of everybody. Stephen Bassett, of course, is in there.
Now, Stephen Bassett's controversial. Not everybody in there is somebody that everybody supports.
Well, that's true. But we, I think Ron really came up with a very interesting approach. The title of this, it's going to be probably a 10-DVD set, and it's called Dialogues on Disclosure. And basically, there's about 150, 200 hours of interviews there. My job will be to sort of cull that down, sort of go ahead and try to reduce the volume of tape, actually, in interviews, and then distill it down to a 90-minute project, which will be standalone. But all the full-length interviews will also be available. And basically, it's ufologists talking to ufologists about the subject, and some of the pairings are very interesting. And it's a very interesting project. Of course, I've been very pretty agnostic when it comes to the whole subject of disclosure. So I'm going to be approaching this as a journalist and as a video producer, and try not to go into it as best I can with any sort of foregone agenda or conclusion. I'm going to try to do this as objectively as humanly possible. And based on a number of the interviews that I've seen already, there's some really good stuff in there. And I'm really looking forward to going out to L.A. for the next week to 10 days and working long hours on getting this project completed. And we hope to go ahead and get it available and premiered at the UFO Congress on the February 23rd through 27th here in Phoenix.
Well, here's a big point, too. Despite that, you'll still be available on the show. So you'll have to take those 2 or 3 hour hiatuses.
Which I enjoy. I enjoy doing that.
Okay, we appreciate that. Now, without obviously doing a spoiler here, can you give us a hint or two about some of the interviews, what things we might learn about the people who are included?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on the person and who they're talking to. Stephen Bassett, for instance, is involved in two separate conversations, one with Dan Sheehan, which I found was fascinating. I learned so much about the history of disclosure and some of the things that Danny Sheehan had to say about viewing the Project Blue Book's classified files. And there's a lot of real gems in there that I wasn't fully aware of or didn't know the story behind some of the events and anecdotes. And I just really find the project very stimulating. It's much better than doing a crystal healing instructional video or a jazzercise video, you know, the kind of stuff I was doing for years here in Sedona. This is the kind of video project that I can really sink my teeth into, and it's pretty exciting for me to be involved in this. Even though I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that we're going to see the U.S. government fully disclose what it knows about UFOs. We've talked about this many times on the show. But I'm going to drop that off by the wayside and really look at this as objectively as possible as a journalist.
And perhaps we'll bring some of those people on the show to talk about disclosure.
Exactly.
And as a way, of course, of introducing people to the DVDs. These will be out when?
We're going to have them out hopefully by the time that the UFO Congress starts, February 23rd. It's called Dialogues on Disclosure.
And Chris will be doing special coverage over that UFO Congress, and we will have extra special episodes. Today's episode involves someone, though, who lives back east in New Jersey, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he lives in the great old state of New Jersey, and he's
right.
MUFON's Eastern Region Director, George Filer. And the reason we bring him on is because he has this periodic newsletter called Filer's Files, okay, where he has updates about UFOs and other strange events. And obviously, he's been at this for a long time, has lots of good stories to tell. And we're going to want to hear from him and to see what he has and, you know, ask some key questions about his particular point of view, maybe the best cases he's found and the future of the UFO field. And maybe we'll ask him about disclosure. We also have some questions from our listeners on the Paracast. So our now full-time co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Jacques Vallée, Bud Hopkins, Brad Steiger, Nick Redfern, Lauren Coleman. You'll find classic and new books by these and many other authors at Anomalous Books, the number one publisher of 14 books on the planet. They specialize in books on UFOs and aliens, Bigfoot and cryptozoology, parapsychology and the paranormal, as well as alternative history, all of which makes Anomalous Books simply phenomenal. Check out their catalog at anomalousbooks.com. That's AnomalistBooks.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We are joined by George Feiler. He is the MUFON Eastern Region Director, and he has a publication called Feiler's Files, which has been around for a number of years, and it lists UFOs and other related information, lots of news and views and information. George, what attracted you to the UFO mystery?
Well, I used to fly for the Air Force, and I was flying in England in tankers, and they asked us if we would investigate a UFO that was over the center of England, we were flying over the North Sea doing tanker operations. We used to call it putting the fighters to bed because, as you probably know, the fog rolls in England and planes can't land. They have to go land somewhere else, and we were losing some fighters because of the bad fog on occasion. So we were the...
Now, do you mean losing that they crash or that you can't see them?
Well, in some cases, they crash because they were out of fuel. So the idea was to have a tanker in the air at all times to refuel them so that they could go to Germany or Spain when the weather got bad all of a sudden. Or they might crash landing, you know, in bad weather. So this was a kind of a safety type thing. So we were up every night. And London Control realized that we were there, and when the UFO would come into our general area, they would ask us to basically chase it away. At one time, they were using fighters, but the fighters often didn't come back, and particularly if they fired on the UFOs.
Oh, boy, you know, you just opened up a thousand questions, but before we get to them, let's hear more about your particular instance here.
Well... So in any case, this was over the center of England, about near the Stonehenge, Oxford area. And we're on the coast, so we have to go about 100 miles inland and descend from like 33,000 feet down to 1,000 feet where the UFO was hovering. And as we got closer, the London Control is giving us, you know, headings and so on. And we're in a more or less a steep dive, and we actually went through our red line, which is as fast as you could fly.
Now, just very quickly before you go on, when did this happen? What year we're talking about?
1962.
Okay.
And, we're about 50 miles out. I was able to pick up the UFO on the aircraft radar. And the interesting thing, it was a huge radar return. When you took off out of Sculthorpe, England, almost as soon as you got in the air, you could pick up the Firth of Forth Bridge in Scotland, which is about 200 miles away, and it was a huge return. And this bridge is about a mile long and, of course, made out of steel and so on. And the UFO image on the radar was almost exactly like this this bridge, so it would indicate that it was a very large radar return, a large object of some kind that we were picking up as we got closer to it or got bigger. In other words, it indicated that it was made of steel or some kind of metallic substance, and it was just hovering over the center of England. And as we got closer, the image got larger, and in other words, it was a real image, wasn't a cloud or something like that. And when we got about a mile from it, it suddenly lit up, both the radar return and we could see it off in the distance, kind of like a ship at sea, like a aircraft carrier or something. And suddenly it just took off vertically straight up in the sky. Looked very much like the shuttle launching at night that most people have seen those pictures. And that's pretty much what we saw. Basically lights in the sky. What convinced us, that, of course, that it was real was the fact that we had it on the radar, on the aircraft, and the ground radar had it as well. So two radar stations at least were picking it up. So it would indicate that it was a real object. And then when we were doing about 400 miles an hour, and it went up about 10 or 20 times faster than we were flying, so you knew that it was an object that probably, you know, was not from this earth. And that's how I got interested in UFOs. Part of the interest that we had is that shortly thereafter we were invited to a dining in, and Prince Philip was a speaker, and he also has a strong interest in UFOs, and he asked to meet with us, you know, the crews that had seen UFOs, and we told our stories of what we had seen. And he indicated that he was convinced, you know, that Eric was being visited. And that kind of together, both his interest and the fact that we had seen something created my interest in UFOs, and I've been pretty much following them ever since then.
Now, you mentioned instances where we tried to shoot down UFOs. I know there was a book out some years back called Shoot 'Em Down. Are you referring to the cases in that book or things that you know about because of your background in the Air Force?
We were told that previous to our chasing them, they had sent up fighters. And all they really said is that some of the fighters didn't come back. So we don't know for certain that, you know, they tried to shoot them down, but we had indications that when you fired at them, they would return the fire. And the reason they were using tankers to chase them was that we had no, weapons on board. And obviously we couldn't shoot at them, so they apparently wouldn't try to shoot at us. I didn't hear of any cases where the tankers were lost.
Well, you referred to craft that didn't come back, so how were they lost?
Well, we were told, and actually since then, I've talked to fighter pilots that attempted to shoot them. And in one case, I talked to this individual. He was in Japan, and he was flying F-102s, which at the time was a very hot aircraft, and he and his wingman went after it. And he had engine trouble and kind of turned back, but his wingman went after the UFO and shot at it and said, "I've got a direct hit on the UFO," and there was you could hear like an explosion. And he said that nothing happened to the UFO, and they basically were coming after him, and then he was lost. He was never found.
I'm going to ask you more about this in a moment. We have George Filer, and he has this publication called Filer's Files, kind of a online newsletter that you can subscribe to and get more information about the cases he has explored and compiled in recent years. But as we're learning right now, he's got a lot more sensational information to offer on the show. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. A reminder that Chris O'Brien is now the full-time co-host for the Paracast. And, of course, we'll still be hearing as guest co-hosts from occasionally Nick Redfern and Greg Bishop. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Nest egg for the future.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaway. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new SightGlass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BIGBERKEYWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Clifford Cliff, International Director for the Mutual UFO Network. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have George Feiler. He's Eastern Director for Mutual UFO Network, longtime UFO enthusiast, investigator, etc. His interest going back to 1962 when he flew for the Air Force. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you have 10,000 questions, I'm sure, based on what he's told us so far. Maybe you want to probe further.
Well, my first comment really is it must have been a little disconcerting to be faced with a huge object like that, that some of your planes hadn't come back due to some sort of interaction with them. It must have been a little disconcerting to be flying around in a huge tanker plane filled with jet fuel, knowing that these things could possibly be hostile. Did that in any way, shape, or form impact your guys' response to this object?
Well, I guess it did a little bit, but we were more excited about the chase. If, you know, sounds funny, but frequently flying is, you know, like boring holes in the sky, and this was something interesting to do. And I guess we thought about the fact that something might happen, but whenever you're flying, something can happen. So you just do your job, so to speak.
Now, were you ever told not to mention this to anybody, or were you ever put under any sort of kind of a security clampdown on this? Or you know, Prince Philip came and briefed you guys. Were you allowed to talk to anybody else? Did this particular incident make the papers or get any sort of publicity?
No. To my knowledge, we were surprised that he knew about it. Apparently, he knew about it from London Control. But I was not aware of it being in the papers or, you know, any kind of publicity. Or even on the base, no one else seemed to know much about it. You know, only the few crews that had actually chased the UFOs.
Do you think it was a major problem? Was this a major problem for the Air Force, having to scramble interceptors to go after these objects? I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just a few instances where this happened, or was this a fairly routine, regular occurrence? It sounds like there was just, you're talking more than just a handful of cases here.
Well, at least at the time, they didn't tell us much of anything. It's like, you know, you're ordered to chase something and you chase it. That's pretty much how it worked.
Yeah, but so it's need to know.
Need to know, and they tell you very little. And on the other hand, I have talked to other pilots and air crews that pretty much the same. They don't give you the big picture, so to speak. But you talk to a number of air crews, and you find out that they have also chased them, so something was going on. Now, we were already airborne, so we weren't scrambled to chase them, so to speak. And actually, because of that, we could normally reach them much faster, because it takes quite a while to get an aircraft off the ground, you know, and up to altitude.
Right, especially a tanker, which is not going to be setting any aerial speed records. Another question I have is, what was you were the pilot now, right? Correct? Am I assuming that?
At the time. I was the navigator at the time.
You were a navigator at the time, okay. And have you been doing, I assume that you've been doing research in the intervening years about other instances that occurred in the European theater. Do you want to talk about any other cases that you've become aware of in the years since this happened that occurred there?
Well, most of them are fairly similar to ours. I don't know if they're the large ones, but quite a few fighter pilots at different times had, you know, seen them. And one of the problems that occurred is that they would sometimes, at that time, if you remember, the Soviet Union and the European countries, the NATO countries, were more or less at war.
That was the height of the Cold War.
Not a fighting war, so to speak, but it could have been at any moment. And sometimes the UFOs would come in from the Soviet Union, and we would think there would be some kind of attack by the Soviets, and vice versa, that they would come in from the West, so to speak, and fly into the Soviet Union, and they would think that we were attacking. So as I understand it, we set up communications between the two countries so that they could warn each other, you know, that the UFOs were on the way and it wasn't an attack by...
Yeah, don't shoot back. It's not us.
Sounds funny, but in a sense, that created...
kind of a forced detente.
Well, obviously, with nuclear weapons and everything, you don't want to start a war unless you have to. Unfortunately, you know, one didn't occur between us.
Kind of like a real-life Dr. Strangelove scenario.
Right. Well, planes had been lost on both sides, obviously, you know, getting too close to one another, etc. But
so what do you tell someone like a Stephen Greer who says that all these UFOs and ETs are benevolent space brothers and that they're here to save us and they don't have any sort of hostile intent? What would you tell Stephen Greer if he told that to you?
Well, Stephen Greer has been in my house and we've discussed that, and I said that basically I was also an intelligence officer for 20 years, and I said, I don't think we know enough. I mean, we have, based on what's happened so far, they probably do not have an evil intent, but we don't know for certain.
Okay, so do you think then that the reason that maybe some crash were lost is because the pilots of the UFOs were engaged in defensive actions rather than offensive? They're being fired upon. They have to protect themselves?
Basically, yes. That's the story that I've always heard. On the other hand, you know, we get stories. I get calls from people claiming they're being abducted, you know, that kind of thing. So they're not always what I would consider friendly. They have their, what appears to be their reasons for doing things, and I don't consider them always friendly.
Well, that's an interesting question here. In terms of that, is it just the case where it's not being friendly or unfriendly, but they're just doing what they do because that's necessary for the preservation of their race or for the scientific research they're doing?
That appears to be the case. Whatever their motivation is, and there's indications that I'm sure people have heard this, that they're abducting us in order to improve their species. I will say that most of the people who call me, if I was an alien, in other words, they're often attractive people or people with you know, strong muscular capabilities or some reason that the aliens would be interested in them.
So it goes without saying that your perception here is this is E.T., can't be anything else. And before you answer that question, we're going to create what we call in the Paracast the eternal cliffhanger. And that means we're going to pause for a couple of minutes, and when we return, we'll talk further with George Feiler, MUFON Eastern Director, a longtime researcher. We're talking about some very unusual and very important UFO encounters. A reminder, here's how you can participate in the action. It's very simple. Join our forums at forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com. All you have to do is go to the forum, sign up, give yourself a unique username so we know who you are. You don't have to use your real name, by the way, but give yourself a fancy username, something like, you know, Flash Gordon or something. It might be taken by the time you hear this. Forum.paracast.com. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborist, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return. George Filer, MUFON Eastern Director, is our guest. He has a publication called Filer's Files, and what I've done is I've put a link up at the Paracast site. If you click on that link, you can check back issues, and you can also subscribe to his newsletter and get in on all the fun, the co-host Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. We're exploring cases that basically George was involved in and heard about involving UFO pilots who shot down our pilots defensively or whatever. Are these cases documented anywhere, or is it just that book, Shoot 'Em Down?
Well, we know that we've lost an awful lot of aircraft through the years, many more than people have any idea. Thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands.
We've lost thousands of aircraft through the years. Now, it doesn't say, of course, that they were lost by, you know, the causes being UFOs, but we've lost a lot of aircraft, and we know that a lot of our aircraft were launched to chase them. So you can put the two together and come up with some kind of an answer.
Well, the case we most hear about is, of course, Captain Thomas Mantell.
Right.
In one of the early Kehoe books and mentioned elsewhere that he was going after UFO, and for one or another reasons, he didn't come back. Some suggest he wasn't shot down. He just flew too high, and he did something, a maneuver that wasn't safe, and so that was the consequence, the unfortunate consequence of doing something that wasn't safe to do. What's your perception of that? As someone who's, you know, been up in the air, what do you think about the Mantell incident?
I will say, you know, that when you're flying aircraft, most of the crews are young and so on, and you get excited in the chase, and you can do things with the aircraft that you wouldn't normally do that cause the wings to come off or whatever. That, in other words, it might be a self-imposed crash while chasing the UFOs, but I have heard of cases that, you know, personally, were they actually fired on the UFOs and did not come back. Now, I've never heard of a case where they actually, in other words, UFOs took offensive action first. I've always found that the stories are of some kind of defensive action on part of the UFOs, returning fire or stopping our aircraft from firing at them by knocking out our weapon systems.
Okay, I think the other question, it comes back to that. Where is this documented? I mean, people are going to want to Google all these cases.
Well, most of the cases, I'm just talking to the individuals. And some of it is reported in my 14 years of filers files. And, you know, if they'd want to know more about it, I'm happy to send it to them. Just send me an email at majorstar@verizon.net. I mean, I've been through thousands of pages of Air Force and other Army material, and I don't, at least of what they released, nothing will be in there.
Chris?
Yeah, so this is all, it sounds like this is all classified information still.
Well,
word is filtered out through the, word is filtered out through Air Force personnel, just kind of telling each other privately about these things. Well, what is your feeling about this, George? Do you feel that there's that this is still going on? Do you have a sense that maybe you know, the powers in the world with you know, high-tech air forces have learned their lesson and they're not going to be foolish enough to try to fire at these objects anymore? Have you heard of any recent cases of this type?
I have heard of recent cases where they've chased them, particularly in South America. Some of that information is being released. But I haven't heard of them actually firing at the UFOs. I think we've learned that, generally speaking, it's not worth the effort.
Right, exactly.
In fact, it's dangerous.
Well, of course, we have the famous Brazil case, I think in 86, where huge objects were seen over major cities in Brazil, I think São Paulo and Rio. And some of the pilots that were scrambled on for those events because of the release of information have come forward and talked to A.J. Gavard, and I think Leslie Keene has some interesting anecdotal information in her book from some of the principals in those cases. Have you heard of anything like that in the United States that could have been possibly covered up because it wasn't over a large city? For instance, the Springerville, Texas cases some years back around the Crawford Ranch location there where George W. Bush had his summer house. Have you heard anything about the F-16s that were scrambled to, you know, in one sense of the word, I think in one report they actually violated the 30-mile perimeter restricted airspace around the Crawford Ranch, and F-16s were scrambled. Have you had any information on that?
Pretty much only what's been in the magazines and so on. And the fact that radar... They requested, you know, radar from that period of time, and on the radar that we information we received, it did show both F-16s and apparently UFOs, you know, in the vicinity. Then we tie that together with the people on the ground claiming that they had seen, you know, both the UFOs and the aircraft. In some cases, saw the UFOs at very close range, you know, with the binoculars and so on. So that we have multiple witnesses to indicate that, you know, something was going on. In other words, it's apparently true.
Well, what do you think the agenda is? I mean, obviously you don't know, but what is your gut feeling as an ex-pilot, ex-intelligence officer, a long-time Air Force member and officer? What are your feelings? I mean, what's the motivation for these craft to be entering airspace and teasing our our defensive structure? Do you have any sense of why they're doing this?
Their technology is way ahead of ours. But
right.
I think of the Earth as kind of an oasis in space, and these crews are coming in from, you know, distant planets, and they're coming here and they're looking for food and probably water to do their laundry, that kind of thing.
Probably empty their bilges.
Can be used in, you know, propulsion systems and so on. Any case, if we were flying, you know, we'll say into Africa, we might stop someplace and look for food and water, that kind of thing. And then there's a certain group of aliens who would look for comfort. You know, even the Bible tells us that somebody where the aliens came from outer space and found that
the daughters of man were fair.
Earth were fair, you know, and mated with them. And
so maybe Paula Stonebrook did have an alien reptoid lover. What do you think of the abduction phenomenon? Since you brought that up, I'm sure you, as you mentioned, you do get calls related to claims of abduction. Do you feel that this is a real phenomenon or some sort of shadow world sort of manifestation of individual consciousness, or are these real nuts and bolts events? What's your feeling on this? You've talked to a number of abductees.
I personally feel that something real is going on and that it should be, you know, researched to a greater extent. That I've had doctors in my home, abductees, and they've looked at the scars on the abductees. For example, one fellow had a scar from under his left arm to under his right arm, in other words, all the way across his chest. While the doctors looking at that say there's no medical reason to have a cut completely across the top of your body like that, that something, you know, must have happened to that person. That's you know, and he's saying, in effect, that he's been abducted, and they were searching for something in his chest and had cut him open. And not only that, but they had healed him quite quickly after that, indicating some kind of advanced medical capability.
We'll get into more of the abduction scenario with George Feiler, longtime UFO investigator. He was an Air Force pilot, and he has had his own UFO encounters, as we heard earlier. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.